Good morning, Columbia Grove. I hope you guys are having a wonderful week. While you're online, or if you're here in the room, I invite you to stand as we worship.
As we wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, who reigns forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God.
Service up with a word of prayer. God, we just thank you that you are the everlasting God. You are the source of our strength and our hope and our peace. And Lord, we come to this morning recognizing all the more that we need it. So Lord, have your way in everything that's said and sung and done today. We love you. Thank you that your Holy Spirit abides with us as we join together and abide with you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, please have a seat. My name is Andrew. If we haven't met before, I just got back from 2 weeks of vacation, so you know I might look extra rested or something like that. Too many Canadian ketchup chips. It has an effect on your face. Anyways, it's good to see you. It's good to see you. And for those of us who are joining us online, I saw we have a larger than number normal there. So. Thanks for joining us online as well. Glad to have you here. Now, we are a church that loves to serve our community, like love like Jesus. That's our slogan. We just want to get that message out in every possible way. And in this next week, we've got a couple of cool things that we're doing that I want to just remind you of. So we're going to be very present with the North Central Washington Fair this next week with a couple of things. Let me tell you about the first one. The first one is on Thursday night. I got a little band, and we're going to be doing music on the Midway from 6:30 to 8 p.m. that night. That also happens to be seniors night. So I realize none of you look like you're over 62, but if you happen to be over 62, y'all can get in for free. So that's really good. So we're doing that on the Thursday night. We'd love to have you join us for that. Our next event in the week is one that's not quite as woohoo, but it is incredibly meaningful, and that we're having Carl Schwartz Memorial Service on Saturday. Now, many of you know Carl. For many of you, Carl was the very first person you met when you first attended Columbia Grove. That's why his chair is out in the foyer today. He has been a greeter here for many, many years, a wonderful, wonderful dear man. It's been over a year since he passed away, but you gotta find a time to remember somebody. And so this is the week. And we'd love to have you be part of that, to share some happy memories and silly memories and all of those kinds of things. One little thing about the memorial service, just to let you know, is that Carl liked goofy music. And so I can virtually guarantee that the congregational singing at Carl's memorial service will be unlike anything you've ever experienced before. But it will honor his memory, it will honor the Lord, and anyways, I hope you can be part of that. Then on Sunday, we're doing something that is also pretty innovative, is we're moving all of this up to Waterville. So we're actually holding our worship service on the Midway. Isn't that cool? Okay, so we've got discounted tickets available. See Paul in the back after the worship service for that. But also to let you know, if you can't make the trip up to Waterville, and we know that is a bit of a trip, we're also going to be doing a simulcast here into the room, so you can meet here, and we'll be. And unlike Waterville, where we won't be serving communion, we'll be doing communion and things like that in the worship service here. And of course, for those of you joining us online, we'll also be online. So pray for us. There's a lot of technical things to figure out to make all of this work, but it could be a great way to, like, the Love Like Jesus message. Let's go public with it, right? So right in the middle of the Midway, right in the midst of everything, let's tell people about the love of Jesus. Amen. So thanks for being part of that. I should point out, I already am aware that there's some need for carpooling heading up and down to Waterville on the Sunday. If you are willing to help with carpooling, like if you have a seat in your car that you could bring somebody up with, would you put your hand up? You don't need to decide right away. But maybe even let us know in the foyer, okay? And we're going to make some of those connections so that everyone who wants a ride can get a ride. We'll help each other out. Okay. And I should point out one more thing, is that in the back of the chairs in front of you, this feels like progress, actually. We've got our connection cards. Yeah. It's so good. You should be able to find some pens close by. But it's a great way to let us know what's going on in your life, if there's ways that we can be praying for you, if there's questions you have. Just, you know, write that stuff down. Put it in the offering baskets. We'll be passing baskets eventually. But just put them in the offering baskets on the tables, and let us know how we can be serving you better. So I need to invite a special person up. Heather Olson is a member of our leadership team. Actually, she's our most recently appointed member. She's filling a vacant spot. Come on up. And she was, what was the word you used? You were a voluntold that she was going to be the team spokesperson. And so from time to time, we like to give a little bit of update on what's going on behind the scenes at church. And so, Heather.
Good morning, Columbia Grove. yeah, it's a phrase that I've heard from my father for many years being voluntold, and it's really important to attend all the meetings so that you can volunteer yourself. But one of the things I think is amazing about this is that it's one of the things that Columbia Grove is known for is developing and encouraging and building up new leaders. And I think it's really important for everybody to get to know the leadership team, who we are, what we represent, that kind of thing. So I think it's a huge opportunity anyway.
She's one of the leaders we're developing.
Right. So I have a couple things. I have three things that I'd like to share about what we were talking about in our leadership retreat, which was Friday, by the way. And it was actually really incredible and thoughtful and looking towards the future and different things that we are going to continue to develop here at Columbia Grove. And it's really inspiring to see how much thought goes into what we want to do as a church and for our community. So one of the very first things that we decided was that we wanted to, as a church, to restore Andrew and Paul to their former pre-pandemic pay scale. In addition, we are going to look to increase their housing stipend. We're going to increase that by 5% as well to help offset that cost for them. And part of another discussion we had was our need, our incredible need for children's ministry and family ministry in our church. And so there was a lot of discussion about how we can really promote that and encourage applicants. And so we have decided that we are going to change the job description, and we are going to add hours to that position, and we are going to include some administration help for Paul as well. And we are going to revamp that and to make it a more of a full-time position, and that way it will help with the pastors and our church and to encourage applicants. So we're really excited to see what will come of that, and it's only God that can bring us the right person for that. And then coming up, we are going to have connection groups. So this is a huge blessing. I know what it's done for me, not just as a person, as a mom, but as a Christian. It's just reaching out and having that connection with other people and developing new friendships, which I think is what we're made for anyway. And the end of September, I believe, the week of the 26th.
Yep. So September 26th, we're going to be launching a number of new connection groups. So Here's your chance to find
Here's your chance. And so if you want to join a connection group or you feel led to lead one, connect with Paul or Andrew, or just get online and put an inquiry in, and we'd love to see that.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Can we give Heather a hand? She did really well for being voluntold. Isn't that great? That's nice. So let's pray for our kids. We're grateful to have a children's ministry again. And so let's pray for our kids as they get ready to head back to Children's Church, and pray for their teachers as well. Lord, thank you so much for our kids. Lord, we pray they'd have a great time in Children's Church. Thank you for the volunteers that are pouring into them. Lord, we pray for those other future leaders that you'll be raising up for that vitally important ministry. And Lord, thank you that you have something to say to our kids. Lord, would you speak to them today by your love? And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So now's the time in the service where we get to greet one another. So we'll put a few social media greetings on the screen for people that are joining us online. But then this is also a chance just to wave to the person across the aisle, or give them an elbow bump or a fist bump or whatever you're comfortable, mutually comfortable doing. But be friendly with one another for a minute or two. And then the team is going to lead us right back into worship. Thanks, guys.
As you make your way back towards your seats, I love to see people interacting and reconnecting with one another. That's just, it's been a hard year, y'all. I'm so glad that we're able to meet here today. But as you make your way back to your seats, we invite you to either stand or sit or whatever is most comfortable for you as we continue with worship and we sing about the amazing grace that we have been shown by our God.
Thank you. One. Got it. The Lord does miracles. I'm Brian Adelman, and it's my pleasure and an honor to be able to lead us together today in our corporate prayer. So please bow your heads and pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, you are the most holy God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and our mighty Counselor. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You created all things, and those things are beautiful and good. Your love for us is unmeasurable. You are the God of miracles. You are the God who works wonders and controls all things. Your way, God, is holy. Oh, Father, how pitifully weak we are in words to express your greatness, your deeds and actions among men. How little we have understood the wonders of life that surrounds us on every side, and how blind we have been to the simplest things of our nature and in our lives. Lord, we pray that you will open our eyes to see something more than greatness and the fact that you have been moving in history and in our lives since the beginning of time. Abba, Father, forgive us, for we have each chosen to be our own king in so many ways. We've gone the way of self-centeredness, and this has led to destroying so many things, including relationships. We have turned from you and decided to be our own center, our own king. Everything around us seems to be falling apart, physically, socially, environmentally, politically, psychologically, and spiritually. Lord, hear our cries, our prayers, our grumblings, and praises as we gather here to worship you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness as we see it in the creation and the created. Lord, we see it in the beauty of each other, as each person is unique and part of the body, and each part is important. We thank you for the goodness of the recent rain as it helps for a fire situation. And we do celebrate in the recent break for Pastor Andrew and his family, much needed time. Lord, today we pray for our world concerns. The world's a mess. There's fear, there's chaos, there's uncertainty. But Lord, we know that you are Lord over all, and we cry out to you. Lord, we pray for our governmental leaders, both local, state, national. Lord, we pray for peace, wisdom, good decisions being made for the betterment of all. Lord, we pray for those places that are suffering around the world, and especially our hearts today. Think of Afghanistan. We pray for the protection of our troops, citizens, allies, and especially the women and children. We're grief-stricken by the horrific images of the evacuation and desperation as mothers hand their babies over for a better. Lord, allow us to be good stewards of this planet. Let us take care and honor that you've created. Let us keep it that way for our children and our children after that. But we ask that you care for those in the margins of society, the immigrants, the refugees, the hungry, the persecuted, the defenseless, the poor, the unborn, and the elderly. We especially pray for those refugees that are coming from Afghanistan. Lord, let us do as you told, love one another. Lord, lead me, lead us, lead our church in how we can be your hands and feet. Lord, we pray for the ending of COVID and the effects. Lord, we cry uncle. We want this to come to an end. How many more lives? Lord, please protect our people. Lord, help us to be part of the solution. And do not let us get in the way or hinder our recovery. For those sick, we pray with COVID now. We pray for your healing, because we know that you are the great physician, especially those in the hospital today. For the weary medical workers in the frontline care, They worked so hard and so long, only to be pushed again by the pandemic. Protect them, give them strength and perseverance. Bless them in ways which is real that they can feel. For our fellow believers in Afghanistan today, some of them who are being martyred for their faith, protect them, keep them. Use their lives to spread the good news of the gospel. And Lord, we pray for the people of Haiti who are recovering from the earthquake and for all those who are providing relief. We pray for our missionaries and our church leaders and evangelists around the world. Lord, and we celebrate with this week's news in Iran that hundreds of thousands are being baptized. God, thank you that you are reaching those people. Lord, we pray for our church, for every member here and online, for every person in leadership, the staff and the pastors. Lord, we ask that you bind Satan's evil and allow goodness to shine. Pray for those who are hurting, lonely, sick, struggling marriages, struggling against addictions of all kind, looking for work, asking for your direction, that your will would be done. We do lift up our children's ministry, that God will provide just the right person. We also pray for our connection groups, that they would help us each grow further in our faith and develop deep and long-lasting relationships. Lord, we pray for Sue Gerlach's granddaughter, Amanda, who is having brain surgery on Wednesday. And for Joyce Rison's daughter, Heidi, and sister, Helen, for healing. And Lord, we also pray this morning for Brant Capel as he let us know that he had an episode of AFib this morning. That on top of a new baby. Lord, we just pray for them. Lord, as we come to you together, we just now take time to lift up our individual prayers in silence or out loud. Lord, as we've come today together to worship you, we pray for our openness to God's word as it's preached. Lord, we ask that you open our hearts and our ears and our spirit to your message and will. Lord, we ask that you guide Andrew and let his words be yours. Jesus, we acknowledge that we are at the mercy of this storm. Its power and effect seems unmanageable, but we trust you. And know that the only place that is safe is in your will. Help us to trust and obey. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much, Brian. I love people hearing your heart. Here, you forgot something, my bro. Here we go. Call that a mask throw. All right. We're going to be doing more of that, I'm afraid. But that's also why today, even the message that's on my heart is pretty simple. We're going to be in John chapter 15, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Some passages that hopefully are really familiar. But here's the big idea. Connection is life. Disconnection is death. We see this principle pretty clearly in some environments like this. I cut this off. We have a grape plant. What are they called? Anyways, grape in our backyard. I cut this off about 6 o'clock this morning, and when I first cut it off, it looked like it was. You wouldn't know that something was wrong. Just like a cut flower, you put it in a vase, and for several days it looks fine, but then pretty soon, in this case, just within about 4 hours, it starts to wilt. We know that with our cell phones. You charge them up, and they work for several hours. Maybe if you're lucky, you got a brand new one a day or two, but pretty soon, connection is life. disconnection is death. And there is nothing more life-changing than our connection with Jesus. So let's read through John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Then I want to look at it from a couple of different angles. So John chapter 15, hopefully some very familiar words. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Reminded that when the uses the illustration of vine, I mean, there's vineyards all over Israel, and so of course that's going to be really common, but the idea of Israel itself being a vineyard, it shows up in Psalm 80 and Isaiah 5 and in Isaiah 27 and Ezekiel 15. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes," or the word there is also the same word as the word cleans. "He cleans it, he prunes it, so that it will be even more fruitful." Who here likes getting pruned? Yeah, me neither. "But you," he says to his disciples, "you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers." Such branches are picked up, they're thrown into the yard waste bin, and every other Tuesday they come by and pick it up. No, it's not quite. They throw it into the fire and burn. You get rid of it. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's, to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Nothing is more life-changing than connection with Jesus. For many of us, we can point to times in our life where we first made that connection and we realized that God was real, that Jesus died on the cross for us, and that he wanted to do something in our lives. And so I wanted you to hear actually one of those stories just from within the congregation. Actually, I was talking to Bob Tridle. And Bob, will you start making your way up? A few weeks back, and he was just saying, I got to share my testimony. I got to tell people about how I came to Christ. And so I wanted you to hear a little bit of his story. But even as you're hearing his story, I invite you to be just thinking about how you would share it. Like, you know, how you would share your, for lack of a better word, before and after story of what life was like before you met Jesus and what's happened since you have. And Bob, let me have you move into the light here just a little bit.
Okay.
But will you tell us how you met Jesus?
Well, it's really a process for me. Yeah. First of all, I want to welcome you back from your vacation.
Well, thanks.
Well, and I grew up in a house that was, well, my dad made me go to church every Sunday. Well, I got so I hated going to church. I took every advantage I could think of to get out of it. And later on, my folks owned an orchard, and I hated working in the orchard. So at 18, I joined the service. I spent 4 years in the Navy. And when I got out, met my wife, and that was God ordained. I know it was. And
I'm going to have you take a step this way, that way we'll get a little less radio interference. All right.
Okay.
Hopefully that'll stop all the little blasting.
And, to make a long story short, I eventually went into college, got a degree in animal science, and when there was no job openings for Bachelor of Science and Animal Science degree. So a classmate of mine heard about this ranch in Blanchard, Idaho. And so we went and we sharecropped out for a couple of years. And then the owner got divorced and we had to get out. So, well, when God closes one door, he always opens another one. And another smaller ranch came available and we took that. Well, the thing that really sticks in my mind is when I was 3 years old, my teacher, Miss Reed, read us a chapter out of a book every after we came in from noon hour. She'd say, lay down your heads, I'm going to read you a story. Well, the story was Walter Farley's book, The Black Stallion. Hmm. Well, I fell in love with Arabian horses then, and I eventually did get a black Arabian gelding. And one night, the dog was barking, and I went out to look at, see what was happening. And I went around the side of the house, and there was a yard light, and it was shining on the corral, and the corral gate was open, and he was out on the road. Well, our place was about, 75, 100 feet from the highway. And so I run out on the road, and this horse's name was Kispa. And I hollered, Kispa, and he stopped. I couldn't, it was so black I could even hardly see my face, my hand.
So a black horse on a pitch black night.
In a black night.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult.
There was no moon, there was no stars, it was just dark. Anyway, I hollered Kispa again, and I could hear him turning around. I could hear his shoes on the pavement. So anyway, I hollered again, and I could hear him clip clop back towards me. And there I want to wait for a minute and quote, this is our devotional that we use, Jesus Calling. Well, last Monday, I came across this devotional. And I want to read part of it. It says, when you seek my faith in response to my love, call. Both of us are blessed. This is a deep mystery. And it was so dark that night that I didn't see him until he put his muzzle right up to my nose. And I put my arm around his neck and I walked him back in the corral, closed the gate. I no sooner turned around and this logging truck came down the highway. Hmm. And to me, that's such a vision of salvation, because I could have been that horse. And here, Christ calling me, come back to him, mm-hmm. and safety in his arms. And but I kind of need to backlog here a little bit. When I graduated from college, I had no way of hauling my worldly belongings to Blanchard. So I bought this old 46-year-old truck, 2-ton truck, and but it was an old grain truck. It had been returned 3 times. The motor had been rebuilt, so it was a good sound truck. But so we loaded it up, went to Blanchard, pulled into a little town called Rathdrum in Idaho. It was the middle of the night. We got it, pulled into this grill and got something to eat and went to Blanchard. Jumped in bed and got up the next morning. We were going to back the truck up closer to the house and it wouldn't move. And come to find out, all 5 bolts that hold that hub to the wheel were broken off or missing. And so that's a mystery to me how we even got there. But that's right where God wanted us at that time, I guess. we eventually I think it was 1984, we bought some property and built a house on it. And at that time, I was still working in the mill, and the mill decided that they would have a railroad tie contract. And so I was working 5 days a week, 6 hours a day at night, and two 12-hour shifts Saturday and Sunday. So I was working literally 7 days a week. And I got to the point that one day I just fell down on my knees and said, God, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I know that you paid for my sins, and I repent of my sins, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And it was harder going down, but it was so much easier coming back up. I felt like a ton of bricks had been lifted on my shoulders. And Jen came back from work, and she said, you look different. And I told her what I'd done, and she said, well, Pastor told me that he didn't think I was saved, and that devastated her. And the church has been praying for me salvation. Well, from then on, I first thing I said to her, I want to know more about Jesus. And so I had been, in fact, I had dreamed several months before that I was going back to school. And I told Jan, I said, why would I be going back to school? I don't want to go back to school. So anyway, that's the way it worked out. We went to Bible school at New Tribes Mission in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And I did get a part-time job. Well, it was almost full-time. We went to school in the morning. Jan and I would take a nap, and then I went to work at Elmbrick Church. Worked till about 1 in the morning. And then I'd come home, we'd study for a little bit for next day's class, and then go to bed. Yeah. But I'd worked 7 days a week for myself. Now I was working 7 days a week for the Lord, and it made a difference. And I enjoyed every bit of it.
So it sounds like God used a horse, used the hubcap.
Yeah.
That's right. And used you getting yourself to that point of exhaustion.
Yeah.
He had to get you to go, God, get out there and I need your help.
That's right.
And he helped.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So if you could describe how your life is different because of meeting Jesus in a word or a phrase, what would you say? Like, if somebody says, hey, what difference does it make that I follow Jesus? What would you tell them?
Well, it makes a world of difference for sure. But I'm more at ease. I'm in love with Jesus, and I...
You're just at ease and at peace, and
yes.
and it changes how we view the world.
Yeah. Yeah,
I want you to see something. Who here can relate to some part of Bob's story? Like God met you through a circumstance, or time you came to the end of your rope. Let's see some hands. Yeah. Mm. So that's how God often uses. And I don't know if we can get. Can we get put hands up and get a little wide shot so those online can actually see what that's like. But no, actually, all right, we'll figure it out. Wow, isn't that cool? Okay. But that is so often how God works, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He meets us in those places of desperation.
That's right.
Yeah.
Can I relate one more thing that happened to me when I was a...
You're cutting into my preaching time.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so...
Okay.
All right, make it fast, buddy. All right, here we go.
I'll make it short.
Okay.
When we were at New Tribes in Sanford, Florida, one of our missionaries was having a yard sale to sell his belongings so he could go on the mission field. Well, he had this old, ugly-looking green sofa, or not sofa, recliner. And he wanted $15 for it. Well, I really didn't need it, but I thought I'd help him out a little bit. So I gave him a $20 bill. And he said, do you want change? And I said, no. This is what I actually said, the Lord will provide. Mm-hmm. Well, one of my jobs at New Tribes was tending the swimming pool, and I went out one day, and here's this green leaf laying on the bottom of the pool. Well, I went and got the net, picked it up, and it was a $20 bill.
Yep. God has a way, doesn't he?
He does.
He does.
He even as I wish I'd asked for $1,000 or give him $1,000.
Yeah. That's true.
Anyway.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Can you give Bob a hand? But isn't that Bob's story is like so many of ours, where God meets us through those unexpected circumstances, things that we can't explain, and those moments where we find ourselves at the end of our rope. But as we take a look at John 15, I want to remember that and celebrate that. And then also remember that it's not just about that one big conversion moment that happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago, for some, you know, 5 years ago or 5 weeks ago. That our connection with Christ is also the most life-sustaining thing we can do. Nothing is more life-sustaining than connection with Jesus. Now, let's read back through John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. This is a promise from our Savior. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Say that with me, fruit. Fruit. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. I was thinking this week about the things, you know, when you read this, like the little surveys or the articles, the things that people are looking for most in life. And you can probably guess some of the top five items. And yes, money is in there. But also in every list in the top five, you'll see, you know, the closest relationships, love. For a sense of well-being and happiness, or joy, or from a freedom from worry, peace. When Jesus says you will bear much fruit, I'm reminded of how when Paul describes this in the book of Galatians. Hopefully these are very familiar words as well. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. Let's say these ones together because these are good words to memorize. These are good words to hang on to. These are words that remind us of what happens in our lives as we stay connected to Jesus. But the fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One more time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Thanks for having forbearance and patience with me. But the things that we long for most in life are found in Jesus. There is nothing more life-changing than connection with Jesus. There is nothing more life-sustaining than connection with Jesus. Connection is life. And disconnection is death. How's your connection with Jesus right now? Now, I realize this is a simple message, and for some of you, you're like, I have heard this before. Good. Good. We need to hear this again. Because let me see your eyes, okay? Guys, we are in a tough time. And there's some parts that are getting harder. One of the weird things about coming back from vacation, which thanks for all the well wishes, and we had a great time. You know, got to see extended family, got to travel, got to do some hiking, got to get away. And so one of the things, at least for me, is I got all the way off social media for more than 2 weeks. Yeah, It's incredible. You know, off of email, off of all of the regular stuff. And you know how you're, when you ever, like, you have a great vacation and you're like, I feel awesome. And then you come back. And I remember last Wednesday, you know, as I'm, there's a going, okay, I've been off social media for a couple of weeks. So you click the little F button, little F icon, and you read for the first time, and it just felt like a fire hose. Or, you know, how it feels, you know, earlier in the summer when you're in an air-conditioned building, you're like, I'm feeling pretty good, but it's in the middle of a heat wave. And then you step outside, and it's 115 degrees outside, and it takes about 30 seconds for you to realize, okay, this is serious. And that's what it felt like for me. And I'm imagining that you're feeling some of the same thing. You start to, I mean, I've got lots and lots of friends on social media, and you start realizing, wow, there's a world of hurt right now. There's a world of fear right now. There's a world of division right now. There's a lot of people that I love dearly that are very anxious and sometimes very angry, sometimes right at each other. This is a hard season. It's a hard season. And I know this sounds like a simple message, but you know, friends, if we're going to make it through this, if you're going to make it through this spiritually and emotionally intact, connection is life. And I've said this before, but I'm experiencing it. I'm living it daily. Your time with the Lord, your prayer life, the ability to find rest, your time in the Word, your time with other close Christian friends. For many of us, this will be the difference between this next season of life, just like the season we have been through, feeling like we're in a tailspin or feeling like we're okay. Because the fruit of the Spirit that you are looking for, the love, the joy, the peace that you are craving, and the people around you are craving, has a source. And that source is? Exactly. If you remain in me, Jesus says to his disciples, to all who will hear him, if you remain in me, I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. You feel like this today? Do you know anybody who feels like this today? Our time with the Lord is not just an add-on to the day. It's not just something to kind of get your head together as you're shooting out the door. Your time with the Lord, my time with the Lord, is life. Is life. And I do want to challenge you, just as I need to hear this message too, is that sometimes connecting with Jesus requires us to disconnect from other things. One of the challenges that we live in is because we are in such an information inundated world. I mean, we are able to access more information about what's happening in the world around us, and there are so many serious things on so many fronts all the time that we can just be swimming in this. So whether that's having cable news on in the house all the time, or you're on social media frequently, or whatever it is, it's coming at us constantly, isn't it? And we weren't designed for that. We weren't designed for that. It's literally more than we can handle. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be informed. I'm not saying you shouldn't watch TV. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be on social media. There's good things in all of those environments. But what I am saying is that sometimes connecting with Jesus, that primary connection, requires disconnecting from other things. as you listen to the voice and for the voice of the Holy Spirit this morning, is God challenging you to disconnect from other things, whether for a moment, whether for a season, or maybe just to find some appropriate boundaries on these things. If the notifications, all the notifications are on all your on your phone all the time, I can tell you something about what your emotional life is like, because you are getting constantly interrupted. If you're spending more time scrolling than you are praying, I can tell you what your emotional life is going to be like. Sometimes connecting with Jesus requires disconnecting from other things. Because if you're not allowing Jesus to fill you up in your inner world, in my inner world, you're not going to have very much to give. And God wants us to bear fruit for His glory and for the world's benefit. There are people around you. You see them all the time. And if you're wondering about whether or not, you know, anybody, just look around you even right now. Everyone is experiencing some of these same fears. Everyone feels a little bit overwhelmed. Everyone feels a little bit anxious. And so all of us need Jesus. I was about to say more than ever, except for we need Him. We need Him all the time. He's mission critical in every moment, but we are more aware of it right now than perhaps in other seasons of life, because the stakes are so high. So how's your connection with the Lord today? I got to share one. Here's a piece of good news. See, because if you're feeling like this, and there's days I've been feeling like this, and I'm grateful that Jesus gave us this illustration of the vine, but there's a very key way that you are different than a grapevine. That for you and for me, connection can be restored. And so when it feels like you're empty, when it feels like you're at the end of your rope, when you feel like, just like Bob shared, you know, you're like, I've been working 24/7, I'm exhausted, I can't do this on my own, connection can be restored. Jesus, I'm scared, I'm anxious, I'm uncertain, things feel crazy, it feels like the world is falling apart. Fill me with your peace. Connection can be restored. We serve a God who loves us, who loves you. I hope you're hearing this. That loves you desperately, more than you can imagine. That's why He sent His Son to die on the cross for you and for me and for us, because He wants the connection to be restored. So I want to give us a chance to do that. And now the ultimate connection that we're looking for isn't the connection of, you know, one moment or of one brief prayer. It's the ongoing connection with Jesus. But you know what? That ongoing connection can be reestablished in a moment. And so I want to give us a chance to do that. Would you bow your heads with me? And even if you're watching online right now, would you bow your heads and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you? Are you feeling distant from God? Are you nervous? Are you anxious? Are you overwhelmed? Jesus said, "Come to me." all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If you're feeling disconnected from God today, I just invite you onto your breath or out loud or whatever, just to say, Jesus, I'm coming back. Jesus, I'm coming back. Jesus, I'm coming back. Lay your fears before him. Ask him for help. Jesus, I'm coming back. Jesus, I'm coming back. Jesus, I want to reconnect with you today. If that's you online, maybe even just put the phrase right now, and one of our online hosts would love to just celebrate that or interact with you. Just post the word reconnecting. Reconnecting. I am reconnecting. I'm reconnecting with you, Jesus. And if you're here in the room and you allow me the privilege of just, I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, but just to pray in for you today. If that's the cry of your heart, I feel like I've been disconnected and I want to reconnect with Jesus today. I want to reconnect with him. Can we just make eye contact for a moment? Yeah. Yep. 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 I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Let's pray together out loud. Jesus, you are the vine. I am a branch. You gave your life for me, and you give me life today. I'm sorry that I disconnect, that I get distracted, that I wander away. But thank you that you take me back. You forgive me of my sin, and you fill me with your life. May your love, may your joy, and may your peace fill me today by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together as we respond in song as well. We remember how good God is. And I pray these words we can just soak our souls in these truths. We serve a God who is a good Father, that we are loved by Him. We should be raising the roof with our singing today, guys. We have got to remember who God is. We have got to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with His peace and His joy. And I pray that we would do that as we remember Him today. Let's worship and sing together.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard tender whisper of love. The dead of night, and they tell me that you're pleased.
Please have a seat and I invite you to take out your communion packets if you're here in the room. Well, if you're joining us from home or from your cabin or from a boat or from a bunker or wherever you are right now, find some bread. Find some juice. We need this. We need this reminder. And we need to do it together. Because here, in these simple elements, even in a sterilized, shrink-wrapped pack that I'm looking forward to no longer having to use someday soon. But even in this sterilized, shrink-wrapped pack is a powerful reminder. Jesus loves me and loved you and loves us so much that he would give his body and he would shed his blood. so that we would not go through this life and the life to come disconnected from Him. He did everything. We did nothing. All we can do is receive it, and that is the best news ever. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, He took bread. It was a bigger piece of bread than this one. I am sure of that. But He broke it and He gave it to His disciples and He said, "Take and eat. This is My body. It's given for you." And after supper, He took the cup, and it was a bigger cup than this one. And He said, "This is My blood of the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering Me." And that's why every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And we don't know when He's coming, and it could be soon. And so whenever that day comes, it's reminding ourselves of the sacrifice Jesus made in His body and in His blood that gives us the strength to continue each day. So I'm going to lead us in the short prayer, and then what I invite you to do is to then look at, you know, speak to the person next to you, or maybe even the person across the aisle from you, or the person one row ahead of you or behind you, but speak these words as a reminder as they partake of the bread and partake of the cup. This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. Lord, let us never forget how significant that gift is. Jesus, You are life. You are life. Thanks for giving Your life so that we could have it. Help us remember You well. We pray these things in Your name. Amen. Serve one another in Jesus' name. Serve one another right now in Jesus' name.
You're a good, good Father. It's who You are. It's who You are. It's who You are, and I'm loved by You. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who You are, it's who You are, it's who You are, and I'm loved by You. It's who I am, it's who I am.
So let's close our time of worship and invite us to stand. And if you're joining us from wherever, I invite you to join us, even to speak these words out loud. These are the words of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus' disciples said, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And He said, "This is how you pray." So this is part of how we pray. Let's speak these words out loud to remind our souls of who's in charge, of who we trust, of where our hope is found. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I feel like we should clap after that. Like, yeah, it's like, thank you, Jesus, that you're in charge, because we need to know that. Hey, so just a couple of quick announcements as we're getting ready to head out is you can pick up fare tickets. So they're discounted tickets that you can only get here for the fair. You see Paul. He's your guy. He's got a big stack of tickets, and he wants to put some in your hands so you can get into the fair extra cheap next week. That's good. Okay. And then also, if you've never checked in here before, there's also a welcome desk, and Paul or Marsha or somebody would love to connect with you there. And so I'm going to pray for us as we go. We're going to put a couple of questions on the screen as well, and I invite you to maybe take a minute or two and just talk with one another about those questions. And just because I'm sensing, like, this was a hard week for a lot of folks. And we got a lot of people that we're praying about. I want to remind us that we've got a prayer minister. Sandy's in the back there. She would love to pray with you. And I'm going to linger around up here as well. And I just, either of us, we would just love to pray with you about anything that's going on in your life. You do not need to face this stuff alone. Or if you're joining us online, talk to our, Heather's our prayer minister today. You already know her. She's amazing. Like just pray with her. Allow somebody to minister to you today and to carry some of whatever it is you're carrying today. You don't need to do this alone. So Lord, as we go from this place, help us to be reminded of your love. Lord, help us to stay connected with you this week and all of the things, all of what that means for each one of us. We need your love, your joy, and your peace, and everything else that comes into our life. We need it, and this world needs it. So keep us, abide with us as we seek to abide with you. And Lord, as you fill us up, Lord, give us the privilege of being able to share it. Whether that's at the fair next week, whether that's with a family member over lunch, or that coworker, or the person on the street. Lord, help us to be ambassadors of your love to a world that desperately needs it. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for worshiping with us today. Love you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. See you soon.